Let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in my life and how you just draw us unto yourself in ways we don't even imagine, Father. How you just call us out of our comfort zone into an area where we wouldn't even imagine we'd be. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy and your love for us. We love you because you first loved us. Thank you for each one that is here, Father. I ask you, come by your Spirit, lead and guide all that you would have me bring this morning, that all that you would have my brothers and sisters. Take your word, take you, Lord Jesus, deep within their hearts, that you, Lord, would be hidden in each heart, that you would be available at all times. We give this time into your hands, Lord. We ask you to bless this time and just give us boldness and courage to be doers of the word, not hearers alone. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What does it take to be a new person? People should be able to see a difference between Christians and non-Christians because of the way Christians live. As we study, learn, and apply the following passage, Paul is telling the Ephesians to leave behind their old life of sin to death. They are now called followers of Christ. The new Christian life is a process from the time of conversion to when called home. Although believers have been given God's new nature, they don't automatically have nothing but good thoughts and attitudes when they become new people in Christ. Believers must constantly and consistently surrender to the Holy Spirit as they keep listening to God, being changed from the inside into Christ's image for God's glory. As we look back and honestly reflect over the past year, do we see a process of change for the better in our thoughts, attitudes, and actions? Although change may be slow, it comes about if we yield ourselves to God's will and trust Him to make the changes in us. As we purpose to be obedient and walk in God's will, we can be fully assured we do not have to do it alone. We have been given a helper, the Holy Spirit, God's life within us, to put off the old and embrace the new in His strength and power. We have the Word of God as our resource for success. As we look to today's passage, we must keep in mind who is in control. If you're able, could you please rise for the reading of God's Word? Read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Thank you. Let's be seated. We'll start today's study with the first part of these scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. As we look and study these verses, what are the lifestyles we are to put behind us? Walk no longer. Walk expresses daily conduct that may not please or not please God. Paul refers back to what has been said about believers, the believer's high calling in Christ Jesus. Because born-again believers are now part of the body of Christ, we have been spiritually gifted by the Holy Spirit and are edified through other believers. They should not continue to live like the rest of the ungodly. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Jesus' life of obedience is a true born-again believer's pattern to follow. Those who claim to be believers ought to live as he did, since they possess his Spirit's presence and power. We are no longer Gentiles, those without God, unregenerate pagans. First, unbelievers are intellectually unproductive. As far as spiritual and moral issues are concerned, their rational processes are distorted and inadequate, inevitably failing to produce godly understanding or moral living. Their life is empty, vain, and without meaning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are unconverted lack supernatural life and wisdom. Through the illumination of God's Word, the Holy Spirit provides his saints the capacity to discern divine truth, which those who are spiritually dead are unable to comprehend. The doctrine of illumination does not mean we know everything, that we do not need teachers, or that understanding does not require hard work. Second, unbelievers are spiritually separated from God, thus ignorant of God's truth, and their willing spiritual darkness and moral blindness is the result. They are blind or have their hearts hardened like a rock. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 24. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Man is conscious of God's existence, power, and divine nature through general revelation. Man's chief end is to glorify God, and Scripture constantly demands it. To glorify God is to honor him, to honor his attributes, and to praise him for his perfections. Failing to give God the glory he deserves is man's greatest affront to his Creator. Many refuse to acknowledge that every good thing is from God above. Man's search for meaning and purpose will only produce vain, meaningless conclusions. When man rejects the truth, the darkness of spiritual falsehood replaces it. Man rationalizes his sin and proves how foolish he truly is by devising and believing his own philosophies about God, the universe, and himself. When men consistently abandon God, he will abandon them. Third, unbelievers are morally insensitive. As they continue to sin and turn farther away from God, they become still more insensitive about spiritual and moral standards. Fourth, unbelievers are behaviorally deprived. As they willingly allow themselves to succumb to sensuality and immorality, they increasingly lose moral restraint, especially in the area of sexual sins. Impurity is inseparable from greediness, which is a form of idolatry. That some souls may not reach the extremes of impurity is due only to God's common grace and the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of their union with Christ, believers spiritually entered his death and resurrection at the moment of conversion, and have been made and are now alive in him, as to understand spiritual truths, realities, blessings, and the will of God. Believers have the riches and privileges of the heavenly kingdom at their disposal. Christ enjoys the position of honor and majesty as the exalted Son of God, seated at his right hand, becoming the foundation of blessing for those that are his. The believer's entire new mind and character should now point itself toward the things of heaven. Heavenly thoughts can only come by understanding heavenly realities from Scripture. Believers have a common spiritual life with Father and Son. The world cannot understand the full importance of the believer's new life. Believers are eternally secure, protected from all spiritual enemies, and with access to all of God's blessings. When people engage in either greed or sexual sins, as Paul has cataloged, they follow their own desires rather than God's. In essence, worship themselves, which is idolatry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. After reviewing the evils of the pagan world and the self-centered, purposeless, standardless wickedness that both comes from and leads to spiritual darkness and ignorance, Paul declared to believers who had fallen back into such degradation and shame, "But you did not learn Christ this way. This is the way of Christ, or of his kingdom or family. We are not to take part, whether in participation or association, in the things of the world." The Word of God reveals that believers are to distinguish themselves from Gentiles. Having learned, they are saved from darkness and defilement, no longer of the world. They can know they are obligated to live in a better manner. To learn of Christ is to be saved, removed from the world, and seated with him. The truth about salvation leads to the fullness of the truth about God, man, creation, history, life, purpose, relationships, heaven, hell, judgment, and everything else as important, as we read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Because Every true born-again believer belongs to God. Satan must operate within God's sovereignty and cannot function beyond what God allows. While Satan may persecute, tempt, and accuse the believer, God protects his children and places definite limits on Satan's influence or power. We are either children of God or children of Satan. One belongs to God or the evil world system that is Satan's domain. Because the whole world belongs to Satan, believers should avoid its contamination. We can know without doubt that Jesus Christ is true God, the greatest certainty of all, the life, death, and resurrection. Christ's incarnation guarantees the Word of God and is the doctrinal foundation of love and obedience. To strip away, as in taking off old filthy clothes, this describes repentance from sin and submission to God at the point of salvation. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 to 9. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Because our old man died in Christ, and the new man now lives in Christ, because that is the fact of new creation or regeneration. We, as born-again believers, must put off remaining sinful deeds and be continually renewed into Christ-likeness, to which we are called to walk in obedience. Salvation is a spiritual union with Jesus Christ that is described as a death plus burial of the old self and the resurrection of the new self walking in newness of life. Salvation involves the mind, which is the center of thought, understanding, and belief, as well as motive and action. When a person becomes a believer, God gives him a completely new spiritual and moral capability that a mind apart from Christ could never achieve. First Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spirit. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. These words from Isaiah 64:4 have often been incorrectly thought to refer to the wonders of heaven, but refer rather to the wisdom of God as prepared for believers. God's truth is not discoverable by eye or ear, nor is it discovered by the mind. The wisdom that saves which man's wisdom cannot know, is revealed to us by God. He makes it known by revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Revelation and inspiration were given to those who wrote the Bible. Illumination is given to all who seek to know and understand the divinely written truth. In each case, it is the Holy Spirit, the divine agent of God, doing the work. Believers are allowed by the Word and Spirit to know the thoughts of our Lord. The renewal of the mind in salvation brings not simply a renovation of character, but transformation of the old to the new self. In Christ, the old self no longer exists as it had in the past. The new self is created in the very likeness of God. Righteousness relates to the believer's responsibility to his fellow man, reflecting the second table of the law. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Holiness refers to the believer's responsibility toward God, reflecting the first table. You shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down nor serve them, but show mercy to thousands. You shall not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord, your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. There is still sin in every believer's unredeemed human flesh. Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite scriptures. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In conclusion, when we purpose to take time and be totally honest with God and ourselves, what changes do we see in our lives in the past year or even 5 years? We are called to walk according to who we truly are, children of God. Do we see the evidence? Are we allowing our hearts to be blinded to God's truth, ignoring the Holy Spirit's revelation into our lives? Can we truly say, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, giving his Spirit every opportunity to teach and refine my character? He is my strength in every situation. When we allow Christ to make his home in us, do we put to death every aspect of the old self, embrace a new with all of our will and the power and strength of the Holy Spirit? How do we live as a new person? We must choose to die daily to self and live for Christ alone, surrendering all of ourselves to his Holy Spirit, giving him full control over everything, every word, every thought, and every action. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this passage as I was preparing this message, spoke to my heart in so many different ways. Father, I ask that you just give each of my brothers and sisters the desire to seek you in your word, Father, to take this passage and make it part of our daily lives, Father. For we are no longer of ourselves. We are new creatures born of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. You laid down your life for us, that we would be reborn, that we would no longer face sin and death. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your commitment, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for all you're doing and will do for us and have done. Father, we just bring everyone that is not feeling well, all those that are recovering, all those that are sick, we ask that you do a mighty work, come alongside them, encourage them, bring your peace as only you can, Father. We give the rest of this day into your hands. We ask, Father, that you keep us on that narrow path that leads to the narrow gate and eternal life. Through Jesus' name I pray. Amen.